It wasn't long after the birth of Amanda that Mary decided to give us girl decided that us girls deserved more than what she could offer us. So she chose to give us up for adoption, but she requested that we stay together. And I can tell you that was one of the best decisions she ever made. Our brother Josh wasn't so fortunate and lived the rest of his childhood staying at various homes of different family and friends. This is the first example of how the Lord has protected me during my life, and the first place I see God's plan start to unfold. Amanda and I were placed with the most amazing foster family for 10 months. We were given so much love and four older sisters. John and Kathy were attending this church when we were in their care, and it was here in this very place that we met Russ and Diane Cranes. They were a couple who longed for children, but after 9 years of trying, couldn't get pregnant. Amanda and I were pretty cute as toddlers, so it's no wonder they fell in love with us and decided to adopt us, both of us. At almost 3 years old, I finally had someone to call Mom and Dad. My parents continued raising me in this church. We would come here every Sunday. I would do Christmas pageants on this stage. I was involved in the youth group. We always prayed before dinner, every night at bedtime, and every morning before I'd leave for school. My parents led a Christ-like example. I'd observe them hosting Bible studies in our home, being active parts of the church. And they were pretty enthusiastic for the Lord. Sometimes I think my dad sang so loudly in church because he was trying to embarrass me. It was evident that my parents knew Jesus, and they made sure I had every opportunity to know him too. I don't know the exact age that I got saved, but I would imagine it was around six or so, and I rededicated my life a couple times later on, but I don't recall the exact details. Life with my forever family was good, but I was a little girl who had experienced a lot of loss in her short life, and it showed through anger. Sometimes I wonder if perhaps I was testing my parents to see if they would leave me too. Who knows? But they never did. They never got angry with me. They just loved me harder. About 3 years after Amanda and I were adopted, a miracle happened. Her name was Hannah. So many things about that, about the miracle of Hannah, shows me how great God's plan is. My parents suffered so much heartache in their early years of marriage with every miscarriage and negative pregnancy test. Yet once they adopted Amanda and I, they were able to get pregnant. And that never fails to amaze me. I truly feel it was in God's plan that my parents were to adopt me and Amanda before having children of their own. 4 years after Hannah, they had another miracle, and his name was Carl. And the birth of Carl was the first time I really felt like I experienced God answering a prayer. I had never prayed so hard in my life as I did for a baby brother. I was 10 years old at the time Carl was born, and at that moment in my life, I knew God was real. At age 10, I was now the oldest of four. Unfortunately, I don't feel I was the best big sister, especially come my adolescent years when depression hit hard. The anger that I felt as a young girl stayed with me, but now combined with depression and anxiety. I started self-harming and filling my journals with dark poetry, quotes, lyrics, hateful words. I saw many counselors, but we would never make any progress because I'd always shut down. I wouldn't let anyone in. My parents were desperate to help me. We even went to Colorado for 2 weeks of intensive counseling. Depression and suicidal ideation ended me up in hospitals several times. I gave my parents a run for their money, and often wondered if they ever regretted adopting me. I felt so unlovable and undeserving of anyone's love. I started making really bad decisions my freshman year of high school. I got in with the wrong crowd and started smoking weed and cigarettes. I skipped school often and even considered myself bisexual. My sophomore and junior year of high school was spent in Germany. My father had the opportunity to serve as a missionary teaching history at Black Forest Academy, a school for missionary kids. As cool as that sounds, this was a difficult transition for me. My depression was peaking, and though I now appreciate the experiences and opportunities I received living overseas, at the time I did not. Black Forest Academy was a Christian school. We attended chapel, had to take Bible classes. Talk of God was everywhere and often. But my heart was cold and hardened. Upon our return home from Germany, I gained a bit more freedom, and I picked right back up with my bad decision-making. When I turned 18, my parents told me if I didn't stop smoking weed, I'd have to move out. I welcomed that openly and moved in with a friend from work whose parents weren't so strict. I was really liking this freedom and the opportunities that came with it to drink and smoke and come and go as I pleased. It was through that friend that I met Adam. Adam was 4 years older than me and from Pawtucket, the city. He was one of the first guys to really give me any attention, and I got sucked right in. It wasn't long before I moved out of my friend's house and in with Adam. A whole new world opened up to me, and I had freedom like I never had before. I had always dreamed of meeting my birth family one day, specifically my birth mom and my brother Josh. My parents never hid from me the fact that I was adopted and shared any information they knew about my birth family with me. Now that I was of age, I was able to request further information from my adoption agency. When I went, I didn't get a ton of information, and any information they gave me was non-identifying. However, I did learn that my birth mother had since passed. My dream of ever meeting her, getting to know her, asking her questions, was crushed. Amanda and I put together the information that we had already had with the information from the adoption agency, and we were able to track down Josh. I remember messaging him on MySpace. I didn't want to scare him away. I didn't know if he still thought about us. But I sent him a message, and I said, "Hi, my name is Samantha. I used to live in Pawtucket. By any chance, was your mother's name Mary?" And he simply replied, "Are you my sister?" Turns out Josh never forgot about us. He had very few possessions, but one thing he always kept was a picture of Amanda and I in his wallet. We found out our birth mother had passed at the age of 33 from a heroin overdose. We also found out that she had two more kids after Amanda and I were adopted. Brandon was adopted by another family, and Diego was adopted by one of our biological aunts. We reunited with Josh, our biological aunt and uncles, most of them, Josh included, had a history of alcohol and substance abuse. Not being able to meet our birth mom left a huge hole in my heart, but the family was thrilled to see us and shared a lot of stories and pictures of her. At age 20, I got pregnant with my first son, Evan. A few months after, Adam and I broke up, and I got my own apartment down here, about 45 minutes away, and Evan split his time between both of our houses. I turned 21 shortly after Evan was born, and I was very excited to be able to join my new friends at the bars any night Evan was not with me. This is when the partying really started, and unfortunately, it took the front seat to parenting. After my lease was up at my apartment, I moved back to the city with Adam, though we remained separated. I pretty much lived with him for the next 7 years. We became each other's best friends and were able to co-parent very well. I went back to school and I got my CNA license. And for the first time, I found what I felt was my calling. I got a job at a nursing facility, and Adam stayed home with Evan. And I'm not sure why, but I also ended up getting my bartending license. My biological uncle, who was quite the alcoholic, paraded me around to all the bars that he frequented, trying to get me a job. He scored me one just down the road from my house. Unbeknownst to me, it was the largest Coke bar in the city. I was relatively innocent until this point, only drinking and smoking weed. It wasn't long until I tried my first line of cocaine in the bathroom of that bar. And that was the start to the biggest downward spiral of my life. After my shifts, I'd stick around, have a few drinks with the regulars, and get high until the wee hours of the morning. One day, I was hanging with a few of the guys that I would party with regularly, and instead of the usual cocaine, they said to me, "We have something you'll like even better." And that's when I was introduced to crack. And sure enough, I did like it better. I liked it more than anything I had ever tried. I was hooked. The Lord definitely protected me those years. I'd often find myself in dangerous situations, unsafe places with people I didn't know a thing about. There were nights where my entire paycheck would be blown on the drug. There were nights I wouldn't come home until the morning. There was even one Halloween I never came home to take Evan trick-or-treating because I was too busy getting high. Adam raised Evan most of his early years, and that's something I feel very guilty about to this day. I wasn't able to give my child the best of me because I was too obsessed with how and when I would get my next fix. With the highs came the lows. After a night of partying, I would fall into a deep depression, hating myself for the choices I made the night before. Adam tried his best to help me. He took control of my finances. He would drive me wherever I needed to go, keep tabs on who I was talking to on my phone. It made me angry, but he was doing what he thought was best for me. But it only made me better at sneaking and lying. My parents were back in Germany during this time, and not even the news of my dad's cancer could get me to stop. Adam would tell me, "If your dad isn't going to make it through this, at least let him see you get better." But the drug was too strong, just like it's made to be. And I dealt with this crack addiction for the next 7 years. I stopped going to church and I had my own idols. I was ashamed of my decisions and the life I was living. There was so much I couldn't forgive myself for, and therefore didn't feel like I deserved forgiveness from God or my family. So it was just easier to stay away from all of them. I was what you would call a functioning alcoholic and drug addict. Despite being a hot mess inside, I landed a great job at the Miriam Hospital as a CNA. I was well-respected and a hard worker. I know my ability to care for others on a deep and personal level is a gift from God. Being a CNA was the only thing I felt I was doing right in my life. I was good at it. I was passionate about it. I've cared for a lot of elderly people over the years, the most precious being my own grandmother in her final months. One day I got a random Facebook message from a guy named Brandon. I knew him and his family from my childhood. They went to this church too. He wanted to get together and catch up, so we did. He was clearly more interested in me than I was in him. After all, my loves at that time were drugs and alcohol. I didn't have much time for anything else. And it took me about a year of dating Brandon on and off to realize that maybe I actually did deserve a good guy. In 2015, we got married, and it was definitely one of the best decisions I've ever made. I tell him all the time, even 6 years later, that I'd marry him all over again. Even when Brandon and I got married, I was still drinking heavily, but moving 45 minutes away from the city, where my people and drug dealers were, helped me slow down on the drugs. Something in me changed once we got married. I was starting to get tired of living the lifestyle of an addict and saw the promising future I could have with Brandon. But I knew I'd have to give up drugs and alcohol in order for that to happen. I asked my doctor to put me on a medication that would block any euphoria that came with the drinking, and it worked like a charm. As long as I continued taking it, I couldn't get even so much as a buzz, so I stopped drinking. I got clean and sober in February of 2016. It was the first time I actually did it for myself, which is why I'm still sober today, almost 6 years later. Cue the happy tears. Thank you. 2 months after I got sober, I got pregnant with my son, Aaron. I was determined to be better. I was determined to be a better mom this time around. I was determined to be present and give 100% of myself to my kids. I've since returned back to church, and I'm closer than I ever have been to God. I'm trying to live a life pleasing to Him, and most of the time, I think I do an okay job. I want people to see that I'm different and know that the difference is Christ. I thank God for continuing my story when it could have ended. Though I still have trouble forgiving myself for the hurt I caused so many for years, I can finally say that I love myself and that I'm worthy of love. It's by the grace of God I've come this far, and I'm leaning on God's strength to continue saying no to the temptations I still face every day. It's amazing to think over my life and see how God's plan unfolds. He rescued me time and time again from situations that could have destroyed me, only to end up giving me 2 beautiful children and a husband who respects and loves me for me. Brandon and I have had the opportunity to work together and grow our own business. We have a jewelry business where we carve local rocks and turn them into jewelry, accessories, and small decor pieces. It's one of those things I never thought would happen, but I'm so glad it was a part of God's plan. My mom has a verse for me. It's Philippians 1:6. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I've always been one to listen to music as a way of coping with whatever I'm going through at the time. For the past couple years, all I've been listening to is worship music. My times have changed. I'll admit, it's much easier for me to listen to the words of a song than it is to sit down and read my Bible. But I feel like listening to worship songs is the way I connect with Jesus right now. When I first heard the lyrics of Micah Tyler's song, Different, I couldn't get enough of it. It's a song that I really connected with, and I think everyone should hear it. So now Amanda and I are going to sing it for you. She got the better singing genes, so don't listen too closely.
I don't want to hear anymore, teach me to listen. I don't want to see anymore, give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror, and I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar. I can't waste a day, I can't stay the same. I wanna be different, I wanna be changed, till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright, the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me.
And I don't want to spend my life stuck in a pattern. And I don't want to gain this world but lose what matters. And so I'm giving up everything because I want to be different. I want to be changed till all of me is gone. And all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see there's something different. So come and be different. I know that I am far from perfect, but through you the cross still says I'm worth it.
Take this beating in my heart and come and finish what you started.
When they see me, let them see you. I just want to be different.
Yeah.
I want to be different. I want to be changed till all of me is gone. And all that remains is a fire so bright. The whole world can see there's something different. So come and be different. I just want to be different. So could you be different in me?